Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This week, Guitar Nerds is sponsored by Solid Gold Effects. Solid Gold Effects are a Canadian effects pedal powerhouse making boutique goodies that we at Guitar Nerds really think are worth a spot on your board. Across the board, Solid Gold Effects offer high quality, originality and affordability with a range so comprehensive that there is definitely a pedal that they make that you, dear listener, should purchase. Looking for fuzz? Well, there are 8 different fuzzes in their range. From the dual tone bender circuits of the communication breakdown to the modulating polyphonic octave down synth fuzz of the Lysis. And of course, it doesn't stop there. There's so many cool, interesting, unique effects. The countercurrent, a momentary feedbacker and delay for 8-track garage rock ambience. The Funkzilla for a super controllable ultimate envelope filter for rhythmic funk quack. Check out solidgoldfx.com for more information on their entire line of pedals. Guitar Nerds is sponsored by Reverend Guitars, and we are very happy about that because we really love Reverend. Well-built, affordable, unique, extremely cool, retro with modern sensibilities. Recently we've had a Jetstream 390 and a Greg Koch Gristlemaster sent to us from Merchant City Music in Glasgow, and we've loved them both. The Jetstream is a gorgeous Reverend original jaggedly shaped retro offset with 3 specially voiced P90 pickups and a deliciously roasted maple neck. The Gristlemaster is an oversized T-style guitar with the incredible sounding Fishman Tele pickups, a Firebird style ramp and a tonal palette so broad you'll never need another guitar. Seriously, their range is massive. Choose from a fantastic spread of bolt-ons, set necks, basses, and unique signature models. If you love guitars and you love this podcast, then I'm afraid you're going to need one. Check them out at reverendguitars.com. And welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Matt Knight.
Hello there.
And Mark Packham.
Hello there.
Yes, indeed. We're on the 174th episode this week of the Guitar Nerds.
174th?
What? 274th episode of the Guitar Nerds.
Do you reckon we could rerun old episodes of Guitar Nerds and anyone, do you reckon anyone would notice? I know some long-term listeners would, well, I'm sure would pick up on it, but...
I don't know. Yeah, I guess.
I mean, basically no Guitar Gear has been released this year, so you could just run last year's episodes and I'm sure no one would notice that much.
Yeah, we'd be talking about more interesting things. No, there have actually been some great stuff that's come out this year, but it's definitely slim pickings. I was having a look through. So, listener, we put together a list of all of the things released in a year so that we can decide what makes our shortlist for the Gear of the Year podcast series, and it is very short at the moment. Very short.
Certainly
indeed.
A short list.
I mean, last year we did a midway point. We did a single episode of the Gear of the Year halfway point, but I'm almost not sure we need bother because we'll use up all the fodder for the Gear of the Year if we do.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's been slow. A few bits here and there, and I'm sure we'll talk about some cool stuff tonight, but yeah, it's definitely not been a normal year, is it?
No.
That's exactly. To say the least.
Yes, absolutely. And I guess on that note, and before we get into anything, obviously a few weeks ago we made an announcement at the start of the podcast, explaining that, you know, in line with everything that was happening with Black Lives Matter, we as a business were going to try and do a better job
of being more inclusive in this community. And one of the things we've decided to do is donate £150 every month to a new charity, which we think is important. Now, normally the charities are going to be directly involved in music in some way, but our first one, which we're starting from now, so for July, the charity that we'll be donating £150 to will of course be Black Lives Matter, and we thoroughly recommend, if you haven't already, that you can do that as well by visiting blacklivesmatter.com. There's plenty of information on there on what the organisation does, and of course the Black Lives Matter business isn't just there for the US; it's there for the UK and Canada as well. So it's worth taking a look at there. And taking
I would
a
say
look
cause rather than business.
Cause, show. Yes, yeah, that was the wrong word. I sort of fumbled on that for a minute and then said the wrong one. But yes, visit blacklivesmatter.com and then you can donate as well. But that's where we'll be donating there this month, and then there'll be a new charity every month, which would be fantastic.
If if people have charities as well that they work with that are involved in, primarily I think it's like bringing people into music and giving people access to music and stuff that they wouldn't otherwise have if the charities didn't exist. If people know of those charities or work with them closely, feel free to send us recommendations as well.
That would be fantastic. I appreciate that. Yes, that would be good stuff. But yes. Also, we should introduce our new patrons for this week. Welcome to Francois Yenny, and also to Samuel Frost, who has upgraded his listenership. So welcome, and hello again, Samuel.
But I like an upgrade. I like hearing about that. There's a podcast that I listen to regularly that does a similar thing, and they read out their new patrons, but they spend a bit more time on the people that have upgraded as well, and like why they've upgraded. And it's always, that's the bit that gets me, that I always think is the nice bit. It's like, yeah, I support this thing and it's like really cool and I feel I can support them a bit more, and hopefully they can do more with that. And I think, that's always a nice thing to see come in. People have said, yeah, I like what you do on the Patreon. I want to put a bit more cheese behind it, you know?
Yes, absolutely. And
we're super close to mod mode now, so...
We are. We're only $100 away from mod mode.
You sent me... that's really good, actually, because you sent me a screenshot of that today, and I was like... Because we'll talk about it in a minute, but obviously I got this Strat delivered this week, and I was like, there is already a Strat in the living room in a case, like, under the sofa. And it's like, when... Like, that episode of The Simpsons when it's a Halloween... Treehouse of Horror, where Bart's got the like brother that lives in the loft.
Yeah.
And they
yeah.
like don't talk about him. That's kind of what's going on with the mob mode Strat right now. It's like there's a new fresh Strat in the living room. The mob mode Strat is under the sofa. Oof. And it hasn't been looked at for quite some time. Wow. So it'll be good if we can cross the $1,500 threshold. Mod mode can happen. You can free the Strat from its place in a case under the sofa, and it can finally get the attention that it deserves.
I am excited about what we're going to do with that Stratocaster. Actually, sort of, on the note of upgrades, of people upgrading, Samuel Frost also is the fellow who bought my Baja Telecaster from me.
Nice.
A couple of months ago. So there you go.
Nice. The upgrade. Honestly, I love the anyone who upgrades, because it's like a big, it's not obviously just for the financial thing, but it is a sign that when we do stuff on Patreon, we're doing stuff right. And also, we got some feedback about the Beatles series this week, I think, as well, didn't we?
Yeah. We've had quite a bit of feedback, actually. It was a very popular series, Gear There and Everywhere, dear listener. If you're not a Patreon supporter and you're thinking about it, I think that series alone is worth it. Mark Packham is very well researched and includes sound samples and things like that. So it's way, way more than just our sort of random prattling that we do on the regular episode. It was
Yeah, and people like, I had some feedback personally from people who said, like, don't really care about the Beatles that much, but the series was super interesting, and the way it presented kind of broke down different eras of the Beatles and what guitars they were using, and how that transferred into solo careers and stuff like that. So, yeah, really fun to work on, and hopefully fun for people to listen to as well.
Well, it caused you to buy a Stratocaster.
Well,
as
this
well.
Is the, yeah. I mean, should we just dive into it now?
Yeah, go into it.
Unless
yeah.
there's anything else you want to talk about. So, yeah, I mean, I spoke a bit about it last week. After doing the Beatles thing, obviously, you know, we know that I bought the Epiphone Casino, been after one of those for a while, and then I did something that I thought I would not do, which was buy a Strat.
I tell you what, making miniseries is bad for your wallet, Mark
it
Packer.
It totally is.
You buy the least amount of gear out of all of us.
I know. But I'm playing more guitar. But just with everything that's going on, being indoors all the time, like now is the most I've ever played guitar. And it's also the least money that I'm spending on things that aren't guitar playing. Like, you know, I'm not going to the football at the weekend. I'm not at the pub. So, you know, I've got some free funds to be able to be like, okay, well, what are the things that I can do? And actually, a couple of those things I'm doing, not to labour the point, is support some more Patreon stuff because, you know, I'm getting to the point where I'm like, you know, I'm not spending loads of money in the pub all the time. What else can I do to support things that I really like doing or listening to or whatever? So I'm getting behind the Patreon thing. But also, I'm like, oh, okay, well, I've got some money spare to buy some guitars for once. So it's either a sign of I've been thinking about the Beatles too much, or it's a sign of I'm getting old, because I kind of feel like once you get towards 40, you have to have a Strat. And so, I ended up buying a Strat this week. And I spoke a bit about it last week. It's a Mexican-made... I think they actually call it... Let me get the actual name of it, because it's like similar to a Classic Player... So the actual name is Fender Classic Series 60 Strat Lacquer.
Right, so this is exactly the same as the, and we've mentioned this before, but it's the same as the Jazz Bass I have, which is part of the same series.
Yeah, exactly that. So I guess like spec-wise, they're closer to the Classic Series than they are the Classic Player, because they've got things like, the 6-bolt trem rather than the 2-point trem on Classic Players. So they're more traditional spec. But the key thing is obviously they've got this nitrocellulose finish rather than the polyurethane finish that you'd normally find on a guitar of this ilk, either this price point or, you know, from this particular series. So I'm loving it so far. It's thrown up a few surprises, i.e. I'd forgotten that a 7.25 fretboard is much, much harder to set up than it is if you've got a 9.5-inch radius.
It is harder.
Or, you know, more than that. When I first got it, the guitar actually had 11s on it. And
that's the right gauge.
No, it isn't.
No, 10s is the best.
Yeah.
What?
I think there's definitely something to be said for, like, it's a point of pride to say all my guitars are strong with 11s. When it actually comes down to it, what you want from a Strat is a bit of jangle. When I first got it, it just felt really heavy. I'll tell you what it reminded me of. Matty, was it the SRVs that came with 11s?
Yes, I think it was out of the box.
Yeah, and like it felt like that, and that's just not what I want out of a Strat. I want the jangle, or I want that top end, and the 11s just weren't doing it. So I put some 10s on there, and what I'd forgotten about the vintage radius boards is that if they're not set up correctly, you just can't do bends on them. Trying to bend up like the top E or the B, it was just choking out all over the place. Because obviously the fretboard is more curved. It's only got like medium gauge frets on there. So, you know, there's not much distance between the top of the fret and the board itself. It was just choking out all over the place. So I had to spend quite a lot of time digging the Allen key out. Luckily, actually, I bought it. It came in the case and all the keys and stuff. So it was... because I don't have any of those tools, unfortunately. I probably should do. I had to spend some time, you know, playing with the saddles, making sure that there's a very delicate balance, I think, on a vintage radius board between, like, getting an action that feels like a modern guitar, but also not having it choke out. And I think I've kind of struck that balance roughly where it needs to be. It still sounds a little bit choky in places, but nowhere near as bad as it was.
I see.
Yeah, I mean, I said to you, Mark, when you said that, I was like, yeah, I sort of just like fitted those new saddles, took them off, and then just sort of did everything by eye and sort of managed to just get it how I wanted it somehow very quickly. Yeah. But I definitely know there's some tools that I should have that would make things much better.
Yeah, you really should. You should invest in a little cruise tool.
You know what it is, though, Joe, is... having had the luxury of, you know, working at, say, GAC, for example, and having someone like Graham Wheeler being able to do all your setups, just incredible tech. And then we had a really good tech at Anderton's who had been there since, like, 1970. Those people with experience just know how to set guitars up really well. And there was, you know, there was another younger guy at Anderton's as well who set up a few of my guitars. And it's just like, there's something about a good setup that is just that you can't do yourself. I would liken it to a sandwich that you buy. It's always better than a sandwich you make yourself.
100%. I'm so on that. You could buy all the same ingredients. You know, let's say, like, I used to go to this, right, we're going down a food tangent now, but let's go there. So I used to go, where I lived on the other side of Brighton, there used to be a really good deli that I'd go in there, and this is when I was younger and more able to consume things like this, baguette with brie, bacon and cranberry. And it was like the best sandwich I've ever tasted. And it got to the point where I was like, do you know what? Firstly, I'm eating maybe one or two of these a week. Firstly, that's unhealthy. But secondly, it's costing me a fortune. So I'm going to buy the ingredients. And I could never, ever get to the same quality of sandwich that I'd buy from the deli.
Yeah absolutely. Yeah, I can never reach the setup that Graham sets up.
Well, here's the thing. If you were making sort of a brie, bacon and cranberry sandwich every day, you probably would.
I mean, I'd also be about eight times the size that I am now.
But... No, but all I mean from that is, like, since doing the Harlequin Guitar Club thing, I've got, what, like 65, you know, ish guitars that have come through, the bulk of which I've set up, unless, you know, for anything that has been a bit tougher, I've sent to Graham Wheeler to do. But I've done the bulk of the guitars, and I think I've got pretty sound, like, pretty good at setting up a guitar, to the point of I kind of feel like it's one of those things where when you're right there with the guitar, when you've just set it up, you're always finding, I guess you're always looking for the imperfections. But like so a couple of days ago I sold this, and I put a picture up of this today, the day that we're recording on Monday, of this Greco GO2. This old 1979 through neck, like, walnut, or actually I think it's just stained ash, you know, brown double humbucker, sort of late 70s. It's an absolute sort of late 70s guitar. But I sold one of those, and I probably set that up 6 months ago. So I got it out of the case to give it a check over before I posted it out. Absolutely incredibly set up. Like, that guitar was fantastic. I mean, this is, you know, obviously part guitar as well, but I was like, I was like, did Graham do this one? And I sort of had a little look. I was like, oh no, this was me. Oh, I'm pretty impressed with this.
Surprised
this
by
very
your own
good
work.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because I think part of the kind of setup thing, or getting guitars out 6 months after you set them up, probably leads into the most divisive post that we've had on the Facebook group for a while, which was my post of some fast fret.
Oh yeah,
with everyone going, I love it
because
it's
snake oil, Mark Packer.
No, it's not. You.
Oh my goodness! What? Can you not play guitar without lube on your strings?
It's not for that. It's cleaning.
No, no, I know.
But it's interesting because I got fast fret. The, you know, when I bought my first guitar, they were like, here's all the things. Here's all the add-ons that, you know, you need: gig bag, strap, cable, fast fret. You know, all, and I sort of just, you know, I'd probably just put it on, loads of it, never really wipe it off and be like, oh, strings always feel like horrible and greasy. But then I was like, after I did all the string changes a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, damn, I haven't changed my strings for like 4 or 5 months. I was like, I'm going to get some fast fret and just give it a go. When I finished playing, just one wipe of the fast fret and then wipe it off. And every time I've picked up the guitar since then, I'm like, it feels like a brand new set of strings. I'm like, how have I not been using this? Because previously, I guess I'll play the guitar, I'll pick it up 2 weeks later and I'll go, oh, feels a bit dead now.
Yeah.
If that sort of zingy sound is what you're after, which it is not for me,
well,
then
on
I
guitar,
guess,
though, sure. I mean, obviously not for your like big body jazz guitars and stuff, but like if you've got a Strat that, like, you don't really want dead strings on it.
I guess so. You're right. For a specific guitar, I would say, like, you know, I spend a lot of time playing the ES-175, which the strings start to sound good after they've been on there for a year, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And any of the basses, I don't like zingy, I don't like new bass strings. You know, I don't think new strings are good for that. But it really, it does depend, doesn't it? And I think it depends on gauges. I think maybe with heavier gauges it matters slightly less. I mean, I don't know that for sure, but, you know, like Tim, the guitarist in Polymath, he uses 12s, and he probably only changes guitars once every strings once every 6 months, unless he breaks a string. And, you know, tonally, they sound great.
This week, Guitar Nerds are teaming up with Echoline Pedals to offer you a £10 discount voucher across their entire line of pedals. This awesome range of British-built boutique effects boxes have been a Guitar Nerds favourite since we first discovered their gloriously transparent overdrive, the Roadrunner, 5 years ago. Recently, Echoline Pedals have relaunched and expanded their entire range, now available in a more compact, pedalboard-friendly chassis and with an unbelievable pre-discount starting price of £119. Still handmade in the UK using the finest new old stock and top quality components, Echoline's range of drives, distortions, fuzzes and boosts are some of the sonically best pedals we have ever heard. They come with a full Guitar Nerds endorsement, and we strongly recommend taking the plunge on one of these boxes. For details and to shop online, check out echolinepedals.com and use discount code ILOVEGUITARNERDS at the checkout for £10 off any pedal in their range.
I never break a string, and I don't really corrode strings, but
right.
There's definitely something about having used this for the last couple of weeks, just picking up guitars that I don't pick up very often. And they just feel, I guess in a way, almost they feel a bit newer. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm in.
What strings do you use as a rule, Matt?
So at the moment, I am using Kurt Mangan strings and Stringjoy strings. So I've got Stringjoy 10 to 48 on the Strat and the Valentine and the Reverend, and then I've got Kurt Mangan 11 to 50s on the Nick Huber at the moment.
I see. What about you, Matt?
Mark. You just asked Matt.
Yeah, I was about to say, is there just a massive time delay? And I've just
sort of got... just a minute long delay. I just bought six sets of regular Slinkies, like, you know, nothing fancy.
Classic.
They'll be fine. I love Ernie Ball strings and kind of always have. And yeah, that's what I'll be sticking with, to be honest. I really applaud the fact that everyone is going out there and finding these new string brands and, you know, supporting small businesses making strings and stuff. But for me, like, I feel like I can't go wrong with a set of regular Slinkies and a set of regular Slinky bass as well. I'm the most regular Slinky man you could imagine.
That is exactly how I would describe you. But no, I do actually agree. Like, I've ping-ponged around loads of different brands in you know, I get quite fussy about strings, I think, despite, you know, keeping them on guitars for ages. But I always seem to come back to Ernie Ball. So I use like power Slinkies on all my basses, and then which is like whatever it is, 50 to 110 or 55 to 110. It's 55 to 110. And then recently for my short scale, my 1977 Fender Music Master bass, I got a set of Labella flat wounds.
How are you getting on with those?
For £50.
You don't like them now. They were 50 quid. You don't like them.
Okay, so it's not. I think it depends what you want from a flat wound string, and I think I am a sort of a slight quandary to myself in that I love the idea of all things like the old ways are the best ways. You know, I like nice shoes and watches and old guitars and you know. Hillman Imp Singer chamois, like I like old stuff, and so the Labellas made exactly as Fender made their strings in 1954, you know, to the same recipe, as it were. That's a big selling point for those £50 set. Really fantastic for that, like, one tone, which is great, which is obviously what those strings are for. This is me, not the strings. But the thing is, Ernie Ball do flat wounds, which are designed to feel like flats but sound somewhere in between flats and rounds. they're much more aggressive. And my problem with flats that I constantly come up against is that I really like the low end and the developed mids that you get with a flat wound strings, but you get this horrible click with flats that reacts terribly with drive.
Yeah.
And that's where it becomes a problem. It's that unevenness. It's that there's this massive gap between these good fundamentals of like of lows and mids, and then this, like, you cannot describe it as anything other than a click. And the only way around it is to play incredibly softly, which is, of course, how they were originally intended to be played. But that doesn't especially suit me. So I have found that because the Ernie Ball flat rounds are slightly more aggressive, they actually suit a modern playing style very well.
Yeah.
Those labellas are fantastic. And they would be great were I actually doing what I like to pretend, you know, what I do.
Being a good bass player.
Yeah, exactly. If I was doing Rolling Stone covers or something like that, then they would be perfect. But the fact is, I'm not. You know, I'm playing sort of more modern, like proggy stuff, and for that, they're not incredibly well suited. So, yeah, so I don't really know what to do with those. I'm loath to take them off. They cost me 50 quid.
That is the downside to buying the artisan strings.
Yeah,
the old school trick: take them off, you know, boil them.
Yeah,
and you don't need to do that.
Don't need to do that with flats. They'll just keep. Because I put tape bones on a P bass recently. Yeah, and they're obviously completely fantastic. The problem with tape rounds is just that they're so low tension, and yeah, that's not especially my bit. But they sound fantastic though. Tape rounds, wonderful.
I had a Burns bass at one point. I had tape wound strings on it.
Oh yeah, that's super cool. That is very cool. Can you get tape wound strings for guitars?
Yeah, yes. Definitely. You get they're jazz sets, aren't they? That they often say.
Stupid, ridiculous jazz sets that are like.
I might get some flats for my ES-175. Omar Rodriguez Lopez played flat round 13s on his 19 fret Ibanez single cut.
Of course, snap in half.
Oh, well, the neck was as deep as the body.
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Before we move off the blue strat, by the way, I just wanted to I pose a question for you and potentially the listeners as well. So this guitar, obviously, you know, I don't really play guitar out and about. I'm a bass player if I'm going to do gigs, and we know that I've got the best bass ever made, so I don't need to do anything with that. But so the quandary that I've got is the reason I bought the one with the nitro finish is that, you know, I want it to look a bit more authentic, a bit older. I tend to find things with the polyurethane finish, they just stay looking brand new no matter kind of how badly you treat them. I mean, actually, my bass has got a poly finish and it doesn't look new, certainly. But the way that those things, you know, the way those finish on the finish on those things distress is that they sort of like flake off in big chunks. Yeah. if you hit them, whereas obviously a nitro finish has got that softer finish to it. If you ding it, it puts a nice little ding in the thing, and it's some nice kind of battle scars rather than my bass that is just looks like it's falling apart. So my quandary is, I think that having it around the house and just playing it around the house, the finish is gonna start to look a bit older, and that's nice. You know, I might knock it over, take it off the stand or whatever, and that's kind of what I want. The thing that isn't going to age, because that the thing that does require you to sort of like take it out, put it under stage lights, and, you know, play it when you're a bit sweaty and stuff, is the hardware. So I was thinking, how do we feel about switching out the hardware, i.e. the plastic hardware and potentially the bridge and the tuners, for something that's pre-aged? And I was doing a bit of research on it, and I found this company called Charles Guitars, who are based in the UK, charlesguitars.co.uk, who I'd never heard of before, and they do some really good looking, primarily I'm looking at them for the plastic hardware, so the scratch plate, the knobs, the trem arm tip and the pickup covers. And they basically, for £100, and the backplate, sorry, for £100, you can basically get a full set of Strat plastic hardware that's pre-aged that looks really authentic. But it's like, is that, you know, I'm not against relics in any way, but buying like a not relic and then putting relict hardware on it, is that like buying a pair of pre-distressed jeans?
I'm going to level with you. I am surprised that I'm hearing you suggest this, you know.
Well,
this...
I mean, basically, I'd love a relic strap, but there's absolutely no way I'd be able to afford one. So I'm kind of going down this route of like, you know, the Mexican Nitro guitar is about as close as I can think of to that. But obviously, it's pristine. You know, it's not like they do a relic version. I mean, I know they did the Road Worns down the line. I never really got on with those, to be honest. So I kind of like what I've got now, but I just don't want it to look, you know, fresh. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I would do it. I think I would be surprised if you do it, because I think it might be a little bit too posery for you. I think of you as being quite authentic with these things, but yeah. I think it would look fantastic.
But I mean, I'm like that with my bass, because like my bass has gone through some proper wars. You know, it's like it ended up under the stage at one point. It's done. I don't know off the top of my head. 500 or 600 gigs, something like that. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, at one point it ended up under the stage, and I had to go and fish it out because of some fairly boozy gig action. And that was when quite a lot of the relicking that's on there at the moment happened, actually, thinking about it, when it ended up under the stage. But like the guitars that I've got aren't going to go like that. The Les Paul Junior is starting to look a bit like that. Firstly, because an old guitarist that I played with used to use that guitar. And so that got kind of like a lot of gig action. But also, you know, I've had it for a very long time. It's 18 years old, something like that.
Really?
Yeah, 2002 that I got that guitar. So that started to go like that, and that is by far the coolest looking guitar that I've got. The Casino is just a poly finish, so that's never going to end up looking like that. I just kind of feel like I've got a bit of an opportunity with this guitar to make something that looks kind of authentic and not as kind of shiny as it is now.
Yeah,
I think it's a good idea.
I think it'd be cool. It'd be a good experiment as well. You know, like it's not something that we've done before, I don't think. It's
actually,
No, you go.
I was just going to say, I think just overall with that guitar, we almost haven't spent enough time talking about the fact that this is, I think, maybe a massively underrated line of Fender guitars, the lacquer finish ones, because of course, you know, that the jazz bass for me is one of few guitars that has survived. One of only two that has survived as long in my collection as it has. And I think the same, you know, with this Strat, they are just, you're getting a sort of a lacquer finished Fender that, you know, for all intents and purposes is absolutely, you know, perfect. Like that is as good a Fender as you can get, not out of the custom shop. One question,
yes.
The pickups.
Yes.
What do you think about the pickups?
They would be the next thing that I would do, I think.
Because that was the immediate thing that I noticed with my jazz bass, is that the pickups were very weak.
Yeah.
Like, I thought tonally they weren't fantastic, and they were I've changed them probably three times now in that bass.
This episode of Guitar Nerds is brought to you by Shergold Guitars and their latest electric guitar, the Provocateur. Celebrated by Total Guitar Magazine as one of the most refined single cuts on the market, with endlessly satisfying playability and a flawless set of tones, the Shergold Provocateur combines remarkable specification with a retro vibe for a unique and bona fide rock guitar. From the brand that once powered the likes of Joy Division and is now championed by modern guitar pioneers and So I Watch You From Afar and many others, comes a fresh and exciting range of electric guitars. Designed by legendary British guitar luthier Patrick James Eggle, and featuring a roasted mahogany neck and a solid mahogany body loaded with USA-made Seymour Duncan pickups, it's easy to see why Guitarist Magazine officially voted the Provocateur one of the best electrics of 2019. You can find your nearest Shergold dealer at shergoldguitars.com. And if you're not in the UK, don't fear. Many UK-based Shergold dealers have super awesome international shipping options to guarantee your Shergold will make it to you in the most far-flung of places. Proudly stand out from the crowd and discover yours today at shergoldguitars.com. Shergold Guitars. Be your own original.
One of the most popular Ernie Ball Music Man models, the John Petrucci Majesty, is being expanded with four brand new striking finishes, now offered in Pink Sand, Red Phoenix, Smoked Pearl, and Ember Glow. The 2020 Majesty features a lightweight Akume body, signature Damasio Rainmaker and Dreamcatcher pickups, and an onboard piezo bridge system that gives the guitar a focused and highly versatile palette of tones. Head to music-man.com to learn more. That's music-man. Now, back to the show.
So, I mean, I think, like, so a couple things on that. Yes, firstly, when I've plugged them in, I haven't been massively impressed, to be honest. I think, you know, it might take a little, you know, if I get a set of nice bare knuckles or something that I could put in there, I think it would.
Why
make
bare
them...
knuckles? Why would you go
well,
for
Well, to be honest, actually, I just picked that name off the top of my head. But, you know, another brand of pickups and something with a bit more of a kind of authentic feel to it. So, yes, I think a pickup upgrade will be good, but it's like, how much do I actually want to spend on this guitar, considering that most of the time I'm sat in the living room, I don't plug into an amp. Do I want to get the pickups? I don't know. Like, if it becomes... So I've got some recording to do, and if I end up using the Strat for that, then I might think, okay, down the, you know, this has served me well for this recording, but it needs an upgrade on the pickups. To be honest, I just... At the moment, I'm really content with it sat in the living room. If it looks a bit nicer, happy with that. It plays great already. And for now, because I'm not plugging it in very much, those are the two things that matter, and the pickup upgrade can come down the line.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
It's interesting because I've with all this Strat talk, obviously, I've already got a Strat, but I'm like, oh, maybe I want to change the pickups in my Strat. And it's something I've been... considering.
What would you go for? Who's
it's interesting actually, because I mean I really love the Sunbear pickups that
Sunbear, fantastic, that
went in my Nick Huber. I'm a big fan of that pedal show, and Mick's been doing a bunch of stuff changing Strat pickups, and they keep talking about these Ron Ellis pickups, who is a pickup builder who I've not really heard much about. I don't think he has a website. I think he's one of those people you just have to like order through Facebook.
That's pretty
there
cool.
Was a set on Reverb that was like £500.
Wow.
And I'm like, yeah, don't know if I want to go that far. Thing is, I don't hate the sound of the guitar, but...
I always assumed you'd go for Lace Sensors.
Yeah, well, I can't... That, I mean, there's a limit. I mean, I love Lace Sensors, but if I put Lace Sensors in an 80s Japanese Paisley Strat, I think that's like, that is definitely crossing the line. But I think what I realised was I prefer the feel of a maple board guitar,
right?
But I want the sound of a rosewood board Strat.
Okay.
Oh, that's so really I want, man.
I know. I get like super dark pickups for that.
Yeah, so I want like... boomy, bassy pickups, but I still want the feel of my maple board.
What about the Creamery? Would you consider?
Yeah, again, great pickups.
I think the Creamery make absolutely fantastic pickups.
I'm sort of open to ideas. If anyone in the group listens to this, and wants to put
listeners, you know, if you're not already there, join the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitarnerdsforum. Join the group and give Matt advice on his. Pickups
and
situation.
Me as well, because I probably will end up changing the pickups down the line. And for me, yeah. I just want something that sounds a bit richer than the bog standard pickups that are in there. Because I mean, they're fine, and you know, they're fine. The Mexican stuff is fine, but there certainly is like a jump up when you think about, you know, getting some boutique handmade pickups. You will notice a difference.
Well, that is a good point, then, listeners. It would be great if we could take some pickup recommendations from you. We appreciate that. We, you know, often get stuck in our ways with that sort of thing. So tell us, you know, what give us some pickup suggestions. What should we be looking at? Well, should they be looking at for Strat replacements right now? I don't own a Strat at the moment.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional.
Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
So I can't do that. But
yeah, I can get one.
I know. Well, you know, I recently, obviously, also in the Facebook group, I posted because I've been thinking about selling the ES175, maybe getting myself a custom shop Telecaster, and I am actually taking the advice of the group in this case. I can't remember who originally suggested it, but actually a few people have now have pointed out that what got me started on the Strat thing, the Tele thing, was playing the Reverend Greg Koch, the Gristle Master, and yeah, they're absolutely right. What I actually want is a Reverend Greg Koch. It's not a Fender Tele. It's just, you know, I'm loath to ever not be buying a guitar that is, you know, vintage correct or something like that. So
I think it's something that I've noticed certainly more now working for Boss, but the amount of people go, yeah, I'm looking for suggestions that's like a Boss DS1.
Yeah.
It's like, but I want to spend £100. I'm like, if you want something that sounds like a DS1, why don't you buy a DS1?
Yeah.
You know, and I think, I think that's just the nature of the guitar world.
Mm.
I think, you know, there's so many choices, but also, you know, people can feel judged by what choice they make when you shouldn't. You should be able to buy and own whatever gear you want.
For me, with the pickup situation, I might end up going for like a set of Fender Custom Shop pickups if they're, you know, if they're the right thing. I don't really care about it, you know, what name is on there. I just want to get the right thing. And in your situation, Matt, it's like, if a DS1 is the right thing, just get a DS1.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, having built boards in the past, you know, you're always like, oh, should I put that many Boss pedals on there? Like, oh yeah, obviously they're the best. But, you know, I think a lot of people go, oh, you know, kind of want to, I've got a space in my pedal board. One that always makes me laugh is, I've got X size space in my pedal board. I want something that's like this. I'm like, why don't you just get the one that is the one you want?
Yeah.
always amazes me.
I tell you what, Matt, like when it comes to, you're absolutely right. Both of you are absolutely right when we're talking about sort of what the guitar world tends to want. And, you know, everyone wanting an original version of something that kind of already exists. And certainly the lockdown has given me a lot of time to spend on my pedal boards as well, even though I haven't been able to use them in a gigging or rehearsing situation. And I've built some fantastic boards that basically compromise of, you know, sometimes I'm like, oh, I want this to be an Instagram board, you know, like I want it to really, part of you, I think subconsciously is like, I want this to look like a board that makes it look like I know what I'm doing, you know, so I'm looking at all the cool boutique expensive brands and I want to make this board of really sort of, you know, connoisseur stuff. That's what I want it to be. But when I actually try and make something functional for what I do, and this is the other board I've ended up with, my board is a Boss MS3 with a Boss what was the green bass compressor called? The BC1X, their multi-band compressor. The BB1X, their sort of drive preamp, which I use as a drive, and a VB2W. And it's those three pedals and an MS3 to switch between those three pedals. I don't even use any of the inbuilt stuff on the MS3. Actually, I do use the ring mod, but and the tuner, but that's it. And the thing is that I can't better any of those things on that board. I've never found a better compressor or a better driver or a better vibrato for me to use an alternative. Not really, you know, not really when you actually kind of, when push comes to shove, when actual using it in a live situation is what you're thinking about rather than how good it looks or, you know, how expensive the board is.
Having said that, I am probably just going to buy some aged plastic hardware for my Strat. Because I'm thinking about how good it looks for me in my living room. No one is ever going to see it because I'm not going to gig that guitar.
Yeah, yeah. Well, none of us are going to be gigging anything for a long time. But yes, so anyway, I have come to the absolute conclusion that I am going to get a Reverend Gregcock because I have not felt inspired by a guitar as much as that in a long, long time. Like, that really, I feel like that guitar's made me a better guitar player. And I am well less fussed about what guitars I own because I'm, you know, predominantly a bass player. But that Gregcock has really made me care about guitar, you know, more so than I normally am, where I'm happy to flip between whatever. So I'm going to get one. I just need to decide between Blucifer and Pow Yellow.
I can't believe you're not going for the red.
I don't like the red.
Actually, I must admit, I really like the purple, the Axis purple.
Axis purple, yeah. I wish that was black. I can't get behind purple.
I think they do. I think Wildwood had a limited edition black one. I think you should ask really nicely and just see if they'll make you a pink one.
I quite like the yellow. It's sort of like a desert sand colour, isn't it? Like the
yellow's kind of, you've got that through grain on it, which I'm quite attracted by. But I wish with the yellow that the hardware was black, so it was more like a traditional Fender. The Blucifer, I am kind of picking the best of a bunch of colours that I would never normally choose. It's just the guitar's so good. So I never really want a pastel colour. Like all the guitars I want them to be black or sunburst, you know, or like a candy apple red or a Lake Placid blue. Like those are the colours that I'm into.
That blue is good though. That blue is really good.
It's very good because it's very subtle, and I like that about it. Like, it's extraordinarily subtle. My problem with pastel colours is when they're a bit over the top, when a guitar looks like it's wearing you rather than you're wearing the guitar. But that is a nice, subtle blue. So I'm kind of into that.
Blue's the best one, but I'm looking at them now. Blue's the best one.
If they did black so that it basically looked like a Cabernita, I would be all over that. I'd probably buy two. But, you know, but I'll settle for this. I also have to say, those, you know, speaking of pickups, obviously we were talking about Strat pickups, those Fishman Tele pickups, at outright, I have never, ever heard a Telecaster sound as good as it does with those pickups. You know, combining that just, I've been playing it loads with the Boss Katana in my lounge, and I'm like, I think this is the best sound I've ever had. And I, you know, the guitar's still only £1,200. That's expensive for a Reverend, but that's not expensive for a guitar. I mean, no. You think you want to buy a set of those Gregcock Fishman Tele pickups, they're £250 to buy on their Todd.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like this guitar is literally the price of a Reverend plus the price of those pickups, which really isn't that bad at all.
I must admit, I have been tempted for the Strat set.
Is there a Strat set? I didn't know there is a Strat set.
Yeah, I mean,
I really haven't looked into these because I write them off as being too modern. But.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people have probably thought the same. I mean, I really like the idea and the concept behind them because they're single coil, they're still noiseless.
What is the concept behind them? Because I just didn't read about them.
They are stacked circuit boards around a magnet rather than copper wire.
Right.
So at that point, they can make them completely noise free, you know, no issues with, you know, what you'd get with wound pickups. They can effectively program the pickups to the strength or output they need them to be, and that's how, you know, obviously the switch works
on the Gregcock, because it does a white guard and it does
a black guard,
a 50s Tele.
Yeah, so it's like two different it's two different outputs. It's not like adding a boost or anything like that. Now, obviously, they need to be active at that point, but it just means that you can do a whole bunch of different stuff with it in terms of, you know, quote unquote programming the pickups. I mean, so I love the fact
they're chargeable via USB as well. And I will point out that we've had that Greg Cock at my house now for a month, and I've not had to charge it.
I think you get 300 hours.
It's outrageous.
And I like the fact that you can buy. So I think normally, if I remember rightly, so yours charges with the USB in the jack plug, right?
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, so you can get some where the battery pack is the, I think for the Strats, the battery pack is the back plate, and you plug right into the back plate. And if you don't have the optional back plate, I think you have to take the scratch plate off to get to a USB socket. Uh-huh. Then again, if you only have to do that once every 300 hours, it's not a massive problem.
Yeah, really not bad. I will say, I still and will always find it annoying that I have to unplug the guitar after I've finished using it. That is my number one reason for never using active pickups. But these sound so good that I'm willing to.
Yeah, I think what's interesting is, you know, normally you'll get pickups like, oh, it's 6.4 on the bridge and 4. Whatever on the neck. I don't think you get that with Fluence at all,
right?
Because of their design. The Strat ones are a vintage single coil and then a Hot Texas single coil.
Right.
I think all the pickups they make, loads of the humbuckers and stuff, obviously going in very very modern guitars, Tosin Abasi. Lots of other sort of Stephen Carpenter.
Yeah, obviously. I think for that reason, it's been why they've been so off my radar.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, they've obviously got Javier Reyes, who plays in Animals as Leaders, Tosin Abasi.
I mean, Javier Reyes is, in my opinion, better than Tosin Abasi.
I would agree. I mean, have you seen that dude play 8-string classical?
Yeah.
It is just like...
His listener and you know, Matt, like, you know, if you haven't heard it, his solo project Mestis is absolutely fantastic. One of my girlfriend's favorite bands. And like he's a couple of EPs and two albums now. Absolutely incredible. Like using an eight string guitar to play sort of classic, traditional Spanish inspired sort of modern metal. Classical, like that sounds bad, but it's actually
but it's
completely
actually
incredible. It's so listenable as an instrumental record, you'll never get bored. They're so good. His records are great and they're quite short as well, which I think is, you know, a problem a lot of bands like my band do, you know, make these epic long instrumental records. He makes tight, short, 4-minute tracks, really catchy, really good. Tonally, some of the best guitar sound I've ever heard.
And I feel you like tight, short tracks, 4 minutes. Like, yeah, for me, that's too long.
Yeah.
2.5 minutes. It's the dream.
Polymath's last album was one track and it was 16 minutes.
Yeah, that's just, you're kidding yourself there, though.
I was listening to Blur earlier today. Didn't realise how short some of those tracks are. Having listened to them for decades and then gone, wow, song two is really short. Song two is like 2.5 minutes long.
That's how you make the money. You make the money by doing it in 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Well, here's the thing. Yeah, that like one track record we made is going to get, you know, only one play for that record
on
Spotify as opposed to whatever, 8 or 12 for anyone
I can't
else.
Imagine you're going to pick up much radio play on that one, I've got to admit.
No, we were asked to, the first thing the label did was ask us to make a sort of radio edit, and we were listening through and we were like, there aren't any sections that go on for less than 3 minutes, so we basically have to submit one riff going round and round with like a little development.
Guessing the label weren't too happy with that.
No, well, I mean, we're obviously a terrible band when it comes to sort of commercialness. I intend to change that, you know. I'm bored with being so progressive, so ahead of everyone else.
So just pop songs all the way now.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's all I care about.
Nothing else.
Well, yeah, that's it. That's all I care about. Watched Hamilton the other night. And right. Now all I want to make is like musical hip hop.
I can imagine you doing a musical. I've got to admit, guitar nerd
space
a
opera
musical written by Joe Branton.
Oh, this is the best idea you've ever had.
That's a Patreon subscriber driver, if I've heard one. Sign up to hear Guitar Nerds the musical.
$2,500.
Have you ever heard the Bartelli, the greatest guitar that you'll hear?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, when we should maybe set a goal of what, $3,000? Like double what Mod Mode is, and we'll produce Guitar Nerds the Musical.
Guitar Nerds the Musical. Yeah, and I'll completely produce it as well. We'll have like, I'll even hire a theatre. It'll be amazing.
I think it might be some time before we can be in a theatre, and it may also be some time before we get to that goal. So,
well, exactly. That's what I'm thinking. At least
something to aim for after Mod Mode.
Right. Yeah, 100%, 100%. Now, moving on to some other things. We've just been prattling on.
We've covered absolutely nothing. And we're 46 minutes in.
I know. Anyway, I do want to briefly mention, which was something I wanted to mention at the start, and this is still technically the start. So, listen out, dear listener, for this week's Friday special. A rather special one this week for me and Matt, because we got to talk to Katie Tunstall.
The most famous person that we've had. Is that the most famous person we've ever had?
I don't know, probably. Well, sort of outside of, you know, being... We don't really ever do bands or musicians. Whilst it was always something we wanted to do, and we do have some lined up for the rest of the year, the bulk of kind of what we've done have been guitar, luthiers, pedal builders, things like that. So this was, you know, one of the first musicians we've done, but you know, the woman who essentially invented looping in popular music was incredible to get on the podcast. So
yeah, I mean, one of my favorite podcasts we've ever done. I think she just had so many stories and was just brilliant. You know, and I think she even said it was nice for her to actually talk about some guitars for a change. But I mean, yeah, just amazing. Yeah. You know, I think her first record sold like 4 or 5 million copies.
Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible. Imagine having that as a trophy, as a medal for your life. And it's like, I've sold 4 million records.
Yeah. And we'll obviously cover it on the episode, but just the fact that really the thing that broke her into the wider community was her performance on Jules Holland.
I watched that for the first time the other day. Obviously, I'd heard about it as being this kind of legendary thing, and you know, I wasn't really much of a kind of Jules Holland watcher. Of course you're not. Outside of like Macca being on there, that's really the only time I'd sort of I'd dip in. But that performance is utterly amazing.
Well, the thing is, and one of the things we covered is imagine going on, like that's broadcast live, the Jules Holland show. And
is
she
it?
Went on there.
No,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
Not. It's pre-recorded. So she went,
yeah, it's pre-recorded.
It's pre-recorded.
Yeah, yeah. No, but it's done, like she doesn't get a second chance.
Oh, no, maybe up, not, like, but it doesn't go out live,
Sorry. Yes, you're absolutely right. All I mean is their performances are very much live. Like, if they mess up, they're not sort of given another chance to do that again, because they seamlessly fade from performance to performance the whole way through the show. The show's filmed as one continual piece, as it were. So she had to get it right. She had to nail that performance, and she did it with a looper pedal, like a manual looper pedal, like at the time an Akai Headrush version 1, which is just a delay that happens to have a sort of loop feature on there.
Yeah, not the easiest thing to use either. It's not like the things later that have sort of perfected the looping, you know, whether it's the Boss stuff or whether it's TC stuff or whatever your kind of flavor is. The Headrush, like you say, it wasn't even really meant for looping. So, it's pretty amazing that she managed to make a sort of career kickstarting performance using just that pedal, and still uses a Headrush, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to give away any spoilers
for
the Friday podcast, but
she's very like a musician who's stuck in her ways in a good way, in a really positive way, and that
found the setup that works.
Yeah, and if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Yes,
whatever that expression is. Yeah, so you know, she's still using a lot of the same stuff that she did when she was essentially busking on the streets of Glasgow, which is just incredible. Like, a really cool story and something we really enjoyed getting to hear and be a part of. So listen out for that, listener. This week released on Friday. Oh, now let's talk about some more stuff. But just before we do, Echoline Pedals, obviously a brand that we checked out a couple of weeks ago. We got their new range of pedals. We're a big fan of them because, of course, the Roadrunner did incredibly well back in 2015, winning our Gear of the Year. So they're a brand, tiny little UK brands that we've had our eyes on since then and been a big fan. We've teamed up with them this week since the launch of their new range of pedals, and so Obviously, you know, if you're listening to the free version of this podcast, you'll have heard an advert already, I imagine, by this point. But I just wanted to mention it on the podcast as well, in case anyone misses it. There is Echoline are currently doing £10 off any pedals in their range for podcast listeners. And their pedals only start at £119. So you're looking at £109 for their Back to the Future inspired looper, or £119 for the pedals in the rest of their range, which is incredibly cheap.
Did you say looper?
Did I say looper?
You
I
did,
meant,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I meant, sorry, I've got loopers in the mind. Boost. I meant boost.
Say, I don't think that pedal's a looper. Sorry.
Back to the Future inspired boost. Yes, absolutely. And then £119 for the rest of the pedals in their range, which would be a distortion, a drive, a couple of drives and a fuzz. But really, like, still for me, the Roadrunner is absolutely the pedal to go for. And that's £119 with the Guitar Nerds discount. So all you need to do, dear listener, if you want to take a punt on these incredibly affordable pedals, and I really strongly recommend, you know, both the Everest and the Roadrunner, those two drives are just absolutely glorious. All you've got to do to take advantage of that is use the discount code I Love Guitar Nerds at the checkout, obviously all one word, and it's I Love Guitar Nerds at the checkout on the Echoline store, which is Echoline Pedals.
.com.
Yes, I just had to check that. I was like, I need to check that to find out.
I was already on the page for you.
Thank you very much. But yeah, what an incredibly wonderful, brilliantly built, fantastic sounding, incredibly affordable range of pedals. We thoroughly recommend you check them out. There is actually, if you go onto the Guitar Nerds Instagram account, I shot a little demo video on IGTV giving you a brief overview of each of the pedals, so we thoroughly recommend you checking that out also. Now next up, what should we talk about?
We haven't got much time left, Joe. We certainly haven't got time for you to be stalling like this.
No, exactly.
Why don't we go on there? I know there's a guitar that you've played this week. You know, normally
we can do that next week.
Okay, fine. Well, should we do some news then?
Let's do some news, because I think you've got something you'd quite like to talk about in the news.
I would.
So let's. Here's the news. First up, why don't you tell us about Charvel?
Yeah, so two new models from Charvel guitars. The main reason I want to talk about this is the first one is incredibly cool. So first one is how do they actually call it? It's the signature model for Henrik Danhage, I assume his name is, or Danhage, from a band called Evergrey. And they are like... I looked it up. I guess I'm going to Google it again. One second to see what the official they're progressive metal from Sweden is essentially the tagline. And so the official title of the guitar is the Henrik Danhage. I'm going with limited edition signature Pro Mod SoCal Style 1. Please, Henrik, if you're listening, please do email in and tell me that I'm an idiot for mispronouncing your name, or any of our listeners, feel free to do that as well.
Danhage.
Yeah, maybe it's Danhage. Henrik Danhage, limited edition signature Pro Mod SoCal Style 1. What it is essentially a kind of Strat style guitar, reverse headstock, kind of classic Charvel reverse headstock. The key thing is that it's relic'd, and the relicking is very, very tastefully done.
It's so good.
So it's in I guess it reminds me of a kind of like, it's sort of inspired by a Jimi Hendrix Strat, I guess. You know, it's a like Olympic white that's been relic'd back. You've got the reverse headstock, but it's got crucially the Charvel neck. So it's that kind of almost that matte finish that they have, you know, almost like the kind of roasted necks, but it's like a relic'd maple neck. And then it keeps it really simple for the rest of the features on the guitar. So humbucker in the bridge, Strat single coil in the neck, one volume control, which is a push-push, so that switches between the humbucker and the neck single coil, and then a Floyd trem on there. It's a compound radius board as well, 12.
The volume control's in like the last tone position.
Yeah, it is well. Indeed. It's like the furthest away from where the Strat controls normally are. So, yeah, it just looks really cool and a nice kind of, you know, for a... I kind of like this sort of style of super strat, which is basically like a modded strat. That's what I
it's
feel.
It's like a parts cast.
Yeah, totally. And I guess, you know, that's what Charvel started out with, I guess, is like making traditional super strats. So taking strats and sort of souping them up. That's for a metal guitar, that's much more my kind of flavor than something like, you know, an RG or something like that. You know, they have definitely have a time and a place, but I much prefer a more traditional super strat. And this is definitely one of those with some really neat little features. The other guitar they've announced, I would say, is much more down a kind of super traditional super strat vibe. This is the ProMod Sandemus Style 1 HHFRE Ash in neon pink ash. This is basically their Sandemus Style 1, two humbuckers, Floyd Rose trem. I think it's an ebony board. Ebony compound radius ebony board. But the key thing is it's a sandblasted body. So what they have done with this guitar is, yeah, it's kind of like finished in this neon pink ash color, sandblasted back, so you get all the kind of textures and stuff in the wood. And that is also matched with a pair of neon pink humbuckers as well.
I can't get behind this.
No, it's not for me. This wouldn't be the one I'd go for. I'm much more of a fan of the previous one.
I can't get behind sandblasted.
I can, but the top needs to be really well matched or one piece.
Yeah, so this
I think the problem with the image they've gone there is it's very clearly two different pieces of wood.
Yeah, and you know, I quite liked it on some of the stuff Fender were doing a little while ago with the, I think there's some Tellies and some
they did the
Tellies,
Strats, P's and J's, all with sandblasted blue and sandblasted red.
I really like them. In particular, the P bass and the Tele actually obviously worked really well because I think they complement guitars that are really simple, you know, really simple setups. Like the P bass obviously is super simple, the Tele super simple, and it just adds like another texture, to literally adds another texture to the guitar. So I like those. This one for me is a bit too full on looking, and like Matt says, I think if it was like one piece of wood it might be nicer, but yeah, for me out there, and you know, I think people will like this and there's definitely a market for this, but the one for me really is this, the signature model is just a really cool looking guitar.
Really surprising pair of guitars for Charvel to put out in a way. I kind of feel like that company's been being quite safe recently, so to see a heavy relic sort of hark back to 80s Parkcasters, and you know, I don't know, I don't even know what to call the sandblasted one, but you know, they're both really strange.
I like everything that Charvel do, really.
Oh, me too. Like, in general, they're a great company.
Yeah, I mean, just having a look at, like, I'm on their website now and just having a look at them, I'm like, do you know what? These guitars aren't for me. You know, I'm much more of a traditionalist. But if I was going to buy like a super strat, Charvel would probably be where I'd go, to be honest, because you know, in terms of the body shape, they're very close to a sort of traditional strat. They're not too pointy, but just some of the features, like I really like the trem that they put on the DKs. You know, I like the lot of the pickup selection they've gone for. And to be honest, you know, even if I did want to go down the sort of Floyd route or something like the SoCal guitars, like I said, they look like old strats that have had a Floyd fitted, which is essentially what I would want.
It's unusual but very, very cool, and a great expansion to the Charvel range. What sort of price are we looking at for both of them?
So the signature model, hang on, I had it in front of me. The signature model is
£1,500.
Yeah, £1,519. And the other one is £1,049.
Very, very kind of in line, I guess, with Charvel's standard sort of pricing on things.
Yeah, definitely.
Very cool indeed. Matt Knight.
Yes.
I want to talk about Glagler.
Yes, me too. And actually, interesting, we were talking earlier about Echoline, a brand that seemingly disappeared and then came back. And I can't remember if I mentioned it on the podcast. Maybe I put it in the Facebook group. I was sold a bunch of stuff, you know, about lockdown timing, and was like, right, I'm going to go and buy a Glauglau Devices Pralines, because I really like that sort of multi-stage sort of envelope phaser. Couldn't be found. No Facebook page, no website. No mention of them, just disappeared off the face of the earth. And then all of a sudden, Last week, they've announced a brand new pedal, and they are back. They decided to basically take a break. They had some problems because of the global crisis. They've got a bunch of new stuff coming. They're still shipping. They're still making. And, yeah, they've announced this brand new pedal. So you can still buy the Pralanes. You can still buy... now, I'm going to butcher the name of this. The Mutarde? Mutarde? Moodard, extra forte, which is their their basically their PPL synth. So I think Jay last week or the week before talked about the arcade machine. This is the super mega version of that in some sense. Basically just a crazy multi harmonizer. So both those are still available, actually at better pricing than they were before by the looks of it. But their new pedal is the Stake. So they are following along the same lines as their previous pedals. Amazing massive boxes. These are not pedal board practical or friendly. I kind of like that. This is going back to those sort of days of Love Tone pedals and just pedals being ridiculous because they can be. It is a multi-filter, multi-distortion drive pedal. So you've basically got two different distortion modes, one of which does soft, hard or square clipping alongside -1, -2 or +1 octaves. You can obviously then adjust the gain and level, and then distortion two has soft or hard or square clipping alongside -1 octave, -2 octaves or a ring modulator. You can then add in an LFO control over that, so you've got up, down, LFO or expression control, which can then be enveloped or not. You've then got four different filters, all of which have a peak control, a modulation control, and a frequency control. Just a ridiculous soundscape in a pedal.
I can't believe how big this pedal is.
It's ridiculous. Oh, I love it and I want one. I think the only downside...
there's no downside.
No, there is no downside. Actually, just a shout out to Stefan Carlson, who runs Guitar Pedal X. He's put it together. He's got an amazing sort of blog that covers a bunch of new stuff, loads of more in-depth information than press releases often give. And the only downside he can see is the fact that there's no presets. You know, so in a time where you've got things like Chase Bliss Brothers or Boss OD200 or whatever, similar drive where you can save a bunch of presets, you can't do that on this. This is a kind of studio device for tweaking, creating crazy sounds. You know, if you're spending 400 euros on a pedal, you necessarily don't want to just have one sound and a set and forget. So I think that might be the only downside. I think they look fantastic. I love the way they're shooting the videos. I'm glad to see they're back. And I might now order their phaser, because I think the Pralanes phaser is one of the best sounding phasers I have heard. We should definitely try and get some more of these on the podcast.
Oh, I need to get this Stake. This looks absolutely fantastic.
Also, not only that, just gone on their Instagram, second picture, Stake, Bootsy Collins. What more do you need?
What, is he
best bass player ever? Yeah, he's got one.
Nice.
Loves it.
Nice.
Gotta love Bootsy Collins. So yeah, and that's the kind. This is the kind of ridiculous pedal that he would play. I think the only one actually I've noticed that's not on their website is the Rendezvous, which was their multi-stage phaser and ring modulator. But yeah, just great pedals, really well designed as well. I've got to say, just some of the best looking pedals.
Yeah,
I think. So yeah, definitely worth checking those guys out.
Absolutely. Now that is pretty much it for this week's free episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. You can of course listen to an entire extra episode of Guitar Nerds every week over on our Patreon site, patreon.com/guitarnerds. You can also find that in the description of this podcast. Now, this week is the last episode of the 1979 Club, which has been my solo podcast where I've been talking about all my favourite guitars.
Talking about the year you were born.
Yes. No. I have been talking about all the best guitars predating 1979, so cool retro guitars. And I've been specifically talking about guitars that you can purchase at the moment. from various pre-owned places, with kind of an accidental, a special focus on more affordable vintage guitars, because I think vintage guitars are often viewed as being unachievable, whereas they are absolutely achievable, and all those wonderful, weird, not staying in tune, crooked neck things about them are actually the things that make them fantastic, which is why we should all play vintage guitars much more. Anyway, you can become a Patreon supporter for as little as $1 a month. $1 a month gets you the podcast ad-free and early every week. At the $5 tier, you can enjoy the entire extra episode, plus access to our back catalogue of mini-series. And at the $10 tier, you can become an executive producer and enjoy all those benefits, plus the prestigious honour of having your name sung in the podcast song at the end of every episode. You can follow us on all the major social platforms with @GuitarNerds and join us on the Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/GuitarNerdsForum. Thanks very much for tuning in. We'll be back next week with more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And cloud lifter, taught Simons and Ritz, Creswell and Joe Hubbard and Sean Hughes, Michael Howe, Brian Hansen and Shane M. Oh, Jeffrey Wetz and Eric M. Oh, Brian Hansen and Vicky Evans and Lyndon Jacob McGee, Scott Dutting, Simon Milbourne and Marcus Howe, Kenworthy,
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.